Since 2004, Iowa livestock farmers have turned to the Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers for free, confidential, and expert assistance in raising livestock responsibly and successfully. Join us at the Fence Line to hear from industry experts and farmers about topics important to livestock agriculture here in Iowa. The Fence Line, where the gates always open. Welcome to The Fence Line, the podcast of the Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers. My name is Bob Quinn, and as I mentioned, this is the Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers podcast. Today we're talking about opportunities in the beef industry here in the state of Iowa, and we are going to be looking at some producers that are selling direct to consumers and getting more background on that. We want to start off the Fence Line program, though, talking with Brian Waddingham. Brian is the director with the Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers, and we recently talked to Brian on the Big Show.
Now, we're near Griswold today. We're talking with the Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers, also here with the Iowa Beef Industry Council, and we're going to be talking with Kelly and Maggie with Muller Livestock, and we're going to be talking about from farm to table. How about that? Getting involved in the beef business at a consumer level as well, what these folks are doing here. Brian Waddingham is with us. And Brian, over the last couple of months, we've been talking about, you know, opportunities in the industry, in the livestock industry. We're talking mainly beef again today, although I think Muller Livestock guys have some pigs as well in there. But one of the doors that was opened here, maybe a little bit wider during COVID when we had a shortage in the grocery store, was selling direct to consumer. And that's what these folks are doing, is it could be another way to, how can we say, enhance profit on the farm.
Yeah, that's right. Ever since COVID, we've certainly seen an uptick in more of that farm to consumer sales point. And, you know, I think it has to do a lot with people just want to know where their food comes from, and they feel safer maybe when it comes from a local farm that they know.
Now, you guys, the livestock folks here in the state of Iowa, said it many times, the Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers, rules, regulations, everything from making manure plans to maybe neighbor relations as well. So, there's many, many pages of rules and regulations that you guys have to kind of be aware of.
Yeah, there's about 250 pages of rules and regs that apply to livestock farms today. So one of the services that we provide is to go out and interpret those rules and regulations and how they impact that farm that we're on, because every farm's unique, every farm's a little different, and really depends on the production type that you're using on the farm, as well as other factors that we always take into consideration as well.
So who should be calling you guys? Who should be getting a hold of the Coalition?
You know, if you're a young and beginning farmer looking to put up your first livestock facility, or an existing farmer looking to grow, or maybe you just want peace of mind that your farm would pass an inspection by an environmental agency, give us a call. All of our services are available at no charge and completely confidential due to the generous support of Iowa's farm and commodity groups.
Talk about neighbor relations.
You know, neighbor relations is really key. It's one of the key services that we provide. But I think going forward, it's going to be extra important for farmers to reach out to their neighbors prior to constructing a new barn or feedlot. And again, not ask for their permission to do it, but just kind of give them an opportunity to ask questions. And it gives you an opportunity to tell them what you're going to do before they hear something in the rumor mill.
Brian Waddingham with us. Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers. You can find out more about their programs at supportfarmers.com. And now back to increasing opportunity and adding value in the beef industry here in the state of Iowa. On a recent Big Show program, we had the opportunity to spend some time at Muller Livestock near Atlantic. At any one given time, they may have 2,500 head of cattle on feed. But today, we're going to concentrate on adding more value to those cattle. And that's through direct marketing to consumers.
Bob Quinn in the Big Show today, and I'm sharing some time with the folks at Muller Livestock, which, by the way, if anyone was on the tractor ride, and there were a lot, about 500 people, on the tractor ride with us 2 years ago, this is one of our rest stops. right here. I pulled in today and I said, I have been on this farm before. And that's not uncommon. I've been at, you know, at WHO since 1983. So I have been around a lot of farms, but I said, I have been here not too long ago. So I hopped out of the car and I said, Kelly, I've been here before. He said, yeah, a tractor ride came through here. Kelly, Muller and his wife, Maggie with us right now. Kelly, I want to ask you, you're a cattle guy. So give a little background. You got cattle and you say you have some hogs too.
Yep. We're the sixth generation on our family farm here in Noble Township, south of Atlantic. We're raising the seventh generation. And we have a row crop. We raise corn, beans, and alfalfa. And we have a feedlot. We run cattle on pasture and cover crops as well. And kind of when COVID started, we'd always kind of sold custom quarters and halves to family and friends. And then we had this huge demand from neighbors wanting meat when it was a little bit insecure in the stores. So that was kind of the birth of our farm-to-table business, Noble Provisions.
Noble Provisions. And I'm going to talk to you about that, too. But Noble Provisions, what'd you name that after? I thought maybe that was you know, your wife's maiden name or something like that, but it wasn't.
No, her family was a farming family too, but we're in Noble Township.
And Noble Township.
Yep.
All right, so that's where the name came from. Now you say you're a sixth generation farmer.
That's correct.
And you're raising the seventh generation, and that's good to hear because we like to have young people involved. But does the seventh generation know they're being raised to farm yet?
I think they're
have you broke that to them?
Well, we're trying to. They've got some of their own chickens, and they do chores daily. And
how about that? Well, they're wonderful young kids running around here. We'd like to see that as well. But you mentioned COVID kind of kicked off that farm to table movement, and in the beef industry. I'm going to ask you about that. So, would you just wake up one day and decide we want to start packaging beef and selling to people?
Oh, it was kind of always a thought in the back of our mind. We're growing the corn that we feed our cattle, and then we've been selling our cattle to big packing plants, but there was kind of an idea that by doing it ourselves, we're finally taking that finished product across the finish line and really getting to see the customer satisfaction with what we're growing. And so that was a real kind of full circle moment.
So how'd you get started at first? And maybe I should ask Maggie this, because she has been pointed out as your social media director at the
use
place.
Use that
here.
Term loosely.
Yeah, here. Well, and you're sitting on the board of the Iowa Beef Industry Council as
I
well.
I am, yes.
So what was your – how'd you get started with, you know, deciding – I understand you decided you'd like to do that, but then you got to get the word out to consumers. And I think that's where we want to start. Is so some folks out there listening say, okay, we raise cattle, we raise hogs, but then what's that next step?
Well, we really started pretty organically, mostly word of mouth. Since we are known in the community, people have been buying quarters and halves beef from us on the custom side. We just really started with going to local produce in the park markets.
Farmers markets.
Farmers markets, yes. So we officially opened our doors for Noble Provisions in November of 2021. And so that Thanksgiving and Christmas, our community in Atlantic had a holiday market and a Thanksgiving market. So we put a table up, we took our products there, we handed out little flyers, and just sold things off of our table at the produce in the park market. And then from there, people just started calling us for more products, and just kind of the word spread, and we were getting more just contacts through phone calls.
You do, I asked if it was a subscription service, is what I kind of liken it to.
Yes. Yes, it is. It is. We call it our monthly meat provision because we're Noble Provisions, so we tried to have a little play on words. So we have a monthly meat provision, which there's a small, medium, and a large offering for that. And so each month we prepare a package and we deliver to our customers' doorsteps. We have a cooler system where we swap out coolers. We try to keep it very simple, very streamlined for customers. Our offerings will have ground beef. It typically has a grilling steak of some kind, a pork product, an extra, you know, kind of something else we might sprinkle in, and then we always have a snack. We have beef sticks, summer sausage, or jerky that we will also offer.
Now, it seems like you have overcome one of the main problems that folks who do this have come across, because people like to come in and buy half of mm-hmm. a beef, mm-hmm. or they like to come in and buy a handful of steaks.
Mm-hmm.
And you have kind of bridged that gap. And when you say small, medium, and large, you're talking about dollars. I'm taking
yep.
it. But you kind of bridged that gap on how do you know, reach those people that don't have room for a half,
mm-hmm.
but really don't, you know, want to kind of sample that whole thing. So
right.
This is kind of the first time I've seen those subscription bundles. How's that sound?
Yes. And I think that's kind of who we can target. I think we do target those people that don't want to have a deep freeze and don't want to have a lot on hand. And they also, we offer some recipe cards with it.
And it's Maggie Muller with Muller Livestock. We've been talking to Kelly and Maggie here. Kelly, I'm going to ask you a question here, because we started off talking about looking at you know, from kind of farm to table, and when, you know, you made that decision. Now, you've grown quite a lot. In fact, you actually have cold storage here on the farm.
Yeah, we do. We have a inspected cold storage right in our office about 50 yards away from where we're sitting, and we've added to that as we've needed to hold more product to kind of meet our customer demand, and as we've been able to get more locker appointments to service more customers.
There was when they first started doing this, there was a situation where we had trouble shipping beef across state lines because we had a situation where it wasn't inspected. But you kind of lived through that as well, and now you have an inspection sticker on your product.
Yeah, so we were always able to do state inspected because we were dealing with state inspectors at our locker. And there was a shortage of USDA inspectors, but the government got their heads together and kind of came up with a workaround where now that we're still using a state-inspected locker, we still can get a USDA distinction and label on our product where we can ship it across state lines, which is important to us being in southwest Iowa. We're not too far away from Omaha or Missouri.
Maggie, I want to ask you a little bit. I'm reading one of your flyers here. And by the way, we're talking with the folks from Noble Provisions, is that right? Noble
Provisions.
Noble Provisions. I should look at your sweatshirt because it says Noble Provisions right on the front there. You're the mind behind these bundles you put out.
Yes.
Well, what do you think about when you're doing that?
Well, when we think about what the customers are wanting, most everyone wants a solid stash of ground beef to hold them over through the month, whether it's to make spaghetti or tacos.
So we always put recipes in there as well.
We do, yes. So we always have ground beef, yep, and then we will have a recipe or two for different cuts that we're offering. You know, we are offering maybe sometimes unique cuts, whether it's we've done ribs, so we've offered a short rib recipe for the crock pot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's an example, but we always try to offer recipes to go along with unique cuts.
So this might be a question that has an obvious answer, but can you take on new customers?
We can, yes. We can take on new customers. So we
have a frozen product.
We have a frozen product. So everything is frozen. It leaves the locker frozen.
And it goes in the mail or it goes UPS? Or
well, we can ship. So we can ship across state lines. We ship to California, Arizona, Maine, Minnesota. We've shipped to many different places. But our monthly meat provision service that we serve locally, we do hand deliveries where we drop coolers off at customers' front steps, and we grab the cooler that we had left last time. So
like
it's very
like
quick.
The milkman.
The milkman.
I mean, not that I'm asking a totally selfish question, but do you make it all the way to West Des Moines?
We do, yeah. Yes. Altoona, actually. We've went over by Altoona. So.
Well, you've overshot us then a little
mm-hmm.
bit. So.
Yeah, well, sign on up and we'll stop by.
good for us. How can we find out more about your outfit here?
Yes, well, we have a Facebook page, Noble Provisions. We have a website, nobleprovisionsiowa.com. You can Google Noble Provisions, and we are starting to pop up.
We're talking about opportunities in the beef industry here in the state of Iowa. Really, we're going from the farm end right on down to the consumer today. Big thank you to the Iowa Beef Industry Council and also Coalition Support Iowa's Farmers.
And visiting with Muller Livestock near Atlantic. Now, that operation does a lot of delivery to consumers as well. There are many other ways to reach consumers, though, with beef from the farm here in the state of Iowa. Catching up now with kind of an overall view with the Iowa Beef Industry Council.
Talking about opportunities in the beef business, and one of the opportunities we've been exploring today a little bit is the farm-to-consumer sale of beef at a farm level. Mike Anderson with the Iowa Beef Industry Council sitting in with us again today. Mike, first off, thanks to the Beef Industry Council for sponsoring the talks we've been having here. But some of the things I was asking you about, we're talking about going from producer level to consumer level. Is that a trend we're seeing here in Iowa?
And it's not only here in Iowa or across the country, but also internationally too. You know, had the privilege to go to Japan and South Korea and those countries, and they want to hear those producer stories as well. And I think that's, you know, no different here in Iowa, that they want to know that it was, you know, humanely produced and responsibly produced. And we know as livestock producers, we've been doing that from day one. So just telling that story out to the consumer.
Now, you have a lot of folks that work there, and I'm wondering, do you have like a how-to guide that, you know, you got a producer out there and says, well, I'd like to get started in that, but I don't even know what to do first. Well, what's the first call?
You know, that's a good question, Bob. You know, we've got companies and producers listed on our website, iabeef.org, that do this farm-to-table type process, and so folks can look at those operations. And I think if somebody wants to get into this business, I think it's a good way. You don't have to be a huge livestock producer if you're small. You can start small, and it's a way to kind of add some revenue and tell your story that way. So it's a good way if you've got, you know, 20 head of cattle or feedlot cattle that you want to do small or up from that you can get into a business like this.
You know, I think it does offer an opportunity, and we have had some developments here in the last, well, year or so. One of them we talked about, and that is with the inspection here in the state of Iowa. So our producers now can sell all over the country, basically.
Yeah, USDA, they did a pilot program, and they're trying to get that kind of more widespreadly launched, where some of these smaller meat lockers that may kill one head a week or 20 head a week, to have those carcasses inspected through a camera. They can take a picture and then submit that to the USDA grader and get that grade back and add extra value to that carcass as well.
How can we find out more about the Beef Council?
Our website is iabeef.org, or you can check us out on all the social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and those types of things too.
I want to talk to Maggie again here, and Maggie Moeller is with us, Maggie and Kelly hosting us today on their farm. Maggie, we were talking about some of the products you put out here, and you put recipe cards in there.
Yes.
You know, because consumers sometimes struggle with, you know, how do I fix this? And I was talking here a little bit ago because we have a fella here that has brought some of your beef that he has seasoned and done very well with. And I made the comment that I think I use a meat thermometer more so I don't overcook rather than undercook.
Right. Yes.
And I think that's one of the problems we have right now with consumers is we've been beating on them so long about, you know, what temperature to get it to. They always like to overdo that. They always like mm-hmm. to push a little bit beyond that. Mm-hmm. How do you convince them that, you know, you can take that steak off at about 125 degrees and it'll be okay?
Right. Well, I think you just have to educate people. And, you know, we can produce really great beef, but the other 50% of that is cooking it really well. So one thing we do is on our recipe cards, especially if it has to do with steaks or something that is really can get tough if it's overcooked, is we will be very specific in our recipe cards on the temperature you should cook it at and then taking it off and letting the meat rest. We also have created printouts that we provide to people who purchase particularly steaks. So it gives really specific instructions on how to get that steak ready to grill, how to grill it, the temperature that you need to the meat to reach when you take it off the grill. And then, of course, the really important step that many people forget is to let the meat rest, because while after you take it off the grill, it still continues to cook while it's resting. So we try to give customers information on how to prepare their meat so that they do not overcook it. And our new monthly meat provision members, we will also provide a meat thermometer to
those
customers.
Oh, how about that? Hey, Mike, real quick, Mike Anderson with us, the Beef Checkoff does a lot with research and also with consumer side of things. We've talked a lot about some of the research on the production side, but you guys work with consumers a lot as well.
We do, we do. We've got a lot of programs we're excited about that are kind of up and coming. We work a lot with our local community colleges and universities around the state, trying to work with their sports nutrition programs that Rochelle Gilman, one of our staff members, has really gotten into and given those beef jerky sticks to those athletes to recover from sports events and things like that. Working with our family consumer science teachers on our grant program to get education to kids in school. That's really trying to increase that program as well. And as Maggie alluded to a little bit, providing more recipes to consumers, especially on some of those lesser known type cuts and how they can cook those. And as prices are continuing to be high, the demand is still there in the supermarket for beef. So we like that.
Mike Anderson with the Iowa Beef Industry Council. Well, we've been talking with Maggie and Kelly Muller, Noble Provisions, about their farm-to-consumer operation. We also want to talk to another member of the Iowa Beef Industry Council. Maggie is a board member. Well, so is Corinne Rao, and she is with the Iowa Beef Industry Council, and she and her husband, Justin, have Rao's Red Cows, which also reaches that consumer direct from the farm.
So on the telephone line with me right now is Corinne Rao, board member, industry council, also Rao's Red Cows. Corinne, we have talked to you guys in the past, you and Justin there. Started a farm-to-table business as well. So you've been at it a while. Give me about a minute on what you're thinking about and how you got started there.
So we got started in May of 2001 during May Beef Month after about 8 months of planning to get all of the freezers lined up and all of the locker dates and animals and beef ready. So we opened in May of 2021. We sell beef that we raise here on the farm and then pork that we buy as wean pigs from a local farmer and then we raise up to market weight. So customers can come see us on Saturdays and get their individual cuts of beef and pork from us and then also see whatever animals we have at the farm that time.
You actually have an on-farm store.
Right. Yep. Little building right there on the farm.
Well, here's a question that we're kind of throwing around today. If someone were to call you on the phone and say, look, we're thinking about this, is that a good deal? Is that a good idea? What would you tell them?
I would tell them it is a good idea. Talk to other people you know that have done it, like us, or I know you're with Maggie today. Just kind of see what worked for them. And then also get in touch with the correct people within the Iowa Department of Agriculture to understand the labeling and some of the rules around it. Get your arms around it that way. And then, yeah, it's definitely a good thing to move forward with.
You've been in doing this for a while now. And looking back at it, what have you learned? What was kind of the things you'd say, okay, this is the first thing we do over?
That the cuts of meat we like aren't necessarily what other people like. It's important to keep a variety of different cuts stock to meet your customers' needs.
What is your number one cut? What do people come and want to look at?
Spring through fall, it would be steaks and pork chops, anything you can put on the grill. And then those winter months, it's going to be roast, more of those slow cooker, Dutch oven type cuts. And then year-round, hamburger.
As far as return customers, how often do you see these folks? I mean, obviously they don't stop by every day, but do you have a lot of return customers,
yep.
Corinne?
We do, yeah. We have some, we have one couple that comes about once a month. It's just a retired couple, husband and wife, so they come once a month, stock up for their needs. We have some people that come like every other weekend and get some things, or then we also have some that buy quarters from us once or twice a year, and they'll just stop out randomly in between to like fill in those gaps for things they're out of.
Well, certainly a way to add value in there, and you're also serving a need because lots of folks want to know where their food's coming from and want to talk to people that produce that farm. Hey, Corinne, thanks for talking to us a little bit today.
And as I mentioned before, you can find out more about Corinne and Justin's operation at Rouse Red Cows. A couple of other places to go for information, of course, the Iowa Beef Industry Council, iabeef.org. Look up Muller Livestock, Noble Provisions, Muller Livestock. Google those folks, and you'll find out more about what Maggie and Kelly Muller are doing there. And also the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship. They have a program, Choose Iowa, that is of interest. And in fact, the Mullers are using some of that program that helped them expand their farm-to-consumer business. So look into the information there from the Iowa Department of Agriculture. And also, we like to point everyone back to the Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers. They're the livestock folks here in the state of Iowa. In fact, we're going to visit right now with one of our Coalition staffers.
Hope Brecht is going to wrap up with us right now with the Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers. Hope, we've had a big day here. You do lots of things with the Coalition. One of the things I like to keep up on is newsletter. And you also have some insight into the tree plant side of the business.
Yep. We send our newsletter out every month. So you can sign up for that at our website, supportfarmers.com. And at that website, you can also learn some more about our Green Farmstead Partner Program, which turns 15 this year.
How about that?
Yeah. So you can learn more about planting windbreaks on livestock farms and the different resources and tools we have available for that.
You and I ought to get a couple of spades and get out there and do some digging. Maybe we can put some trees in together.
Sure thing, Bob. You line that up, and I'll be there.
I always like volunteering people for some labor.
Yeah.
No, I hope you do a wonderful job. How can we find out more about the Coalition?
Again, supportfarmers.com. You can learn more about our programs. Follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all that good stuff. Or else give us a call at 800-932-2436.
Thanks, Hope. And big thank you to the Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers as well, and to the Muller Livestock folks with Noble Provisions. I got that right, didn't I, Kelly? Your Noble Provisions, and you can find out more about some of the things they're doing as well. We're talking about opportunities in the beef industry here in the state of Iowa.
And that wraps up this edition of The Fence Line. The Fence Line is a production of the Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers. My name is Bob Quinn, and I'll be talking to you on the next edition of The Fence Line.